We're about to embark upon a new sugya, but it's really coming off the heels of the previous sugya. The last sugya we spoke about in general rules about potential issa b'masho, particularly that related to the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan about min b'mino, whether it is b'masho or not b'masho. And now the Gemara in Maseches Pesachim begins to discuss the unique aspect of b'masho as it relates to chametz. So we just barely started to scratch the surface of this at the end of the shiur yesterday. Now I really begin with a sugya. It's very much a chulin sugya, even though, strangely enough, I don't think there's a chulin ma'amacham on this, but it is very, very much a chulin sugya. That Tosis is actually a chulin, quotes all these Gemara, so it turned into a chulin sugya. So the sugya starts at the first of the Ramakom, the Gemara Pesach Nachav Testament Beis. So Amar Rav, Chometz Bezmano, Bein Bemino, Bein Shalom Bemino Asur, Shalom Bezmano, Bemino Asur, Shalom Bemino Mutter. Rav just made four statements, the two different variables, four different possibilities, four different boxes. So let's just backtrack a little bit, just to familiarize ourselves with the Pesachim part of the sugya first, before we analyze how it plays out in terms of the Chulin part. So it is obvious that one of the Yisurim, the primary Yisurim Chometz, is Chometz Bezmano, Chometz on Pesach itself. That's obviously not negotiable. The Torah says that multiple times. You can't eat Chometz on Pesach, have Karis, etc. In addition to the Yisur of Chometz on Pesach proper, there are two other possible times of Yisurei Chometz. One is what's called Chometz Lifnei Zmano, and one is what's called Chometz Liachez Zmano. Chometz Lifnei Zmano refers specifically to that unit of time in Erev Pesach in the afternoon, from Chatzos Ayom, which is really the beginning of the Zman Shchitza Pesach, until the night. That's Chometz Lifnei Zmano. And Chometz Liachez Zmano is what we call, colloquially, Chometz She'ovel Over Pesach. Chometz that was in existence on Pesach, it was there, it was present on Pesach, but now Pesach is long gone. So those are the three categories of Chometz. Chometz Bizmano, Chometz Bifnei Zmano, Chometz Yachaz Zmano. So whereas Chometz Bizmano is obviously also in the Torah, obviously in Issachar Reis, Chometz Lifnei Zmano and Achaz Zmano are not as clear, not as simple. So there was a running machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon about both of those categories. Rabbi Yehuda's view was that Chometz Lifnei Pesach, namely in that window of time after Chatzos until the evening, is an Issa D'Oraisa. That's what the term means when it says Lo Sochal Alav Chametz. Alav is referring to the Shechitas HaKorban. That's what the context of the pasuk is. Lo Sochal Alav Chametz. Rabbi Yehuda held there's an Issa D'Oraisa to eat Chametz anytime from, we're going to use the term 12 o'clock, that's literally mean 12 o'clock from Chatzos until nighttime. That's an Issa D'Oraisa. There's no Karis. It's a Lav, but no karis. And Rabbi Shimon says, Rabbi Shimon says there is no such law. That's not what the pasuk means, etc. Now again, we're not learning all the technicalities of the Pesach part right now, but just suffice to say that within the view of Rabbi Shimon, there's a further machlokes that we showed him. Therefore what? Therefore it's mutter, because there's no law, therefore it's mutter. So most of the Rishonim say it's still also for other reasons, possibly. And there's some Rishonim who say that maybe min haTorah it's mutter. And then there's the collector's item, the believe it or not view, that's the Balabar. The Balabar says that according to Rabbi Shimon, not only is it permissible min haTorah to eat chametz in the afternoon, it's actually supposed to be done, because that's the greatest way of destroying chametz. Says the Balabar, ein lecha shpasa gedola mizu. I always give the mashal, if you ever go to a beer chametz in the morning, so it's usually a disaster, because usually what happens is you have a bunch of guys who think that they're Boy Scouts. Nobody really knows how to start a fire properly. Everyone's coming and throwing in their lovin', and they're bringing in their bagels wrapped up in aluminum foil that doesn't burn because it's a bagel and doesn't burn because it's aluminum foil. And then there's always a guy who throws in the plastic bag and starts vaporizing the entire world. And then finally they throw some lighter fluid on the whole thing and goes up in smoke. And then 2 minutes later you see it's all just toasted bagels. That's it. So the Balamore says that the way we do Be'er Chametz, that's so good. But you want to really, really destroy a Chametz, the whole day is eat it. If you eat it, you'll never see it again. So needless to say, we don't follow that Balamor. Nobody today eats Chametz in the afternoon. Our face, at least, shouldn't be eating Chametz. But the Balamor are very, very unique sheet in the sugi, but again, not for now. So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are fighting it out about Chametz Lifnei Pesach. But that just sets the stage for our sugya, because they're also fighting it out about Chametz the Achar Pesach. What's the status of what we call today Chametz of Lava Pesach? So Rabbi Yehuda holds that just as there's an Isser D'Oraisa on Erev Pesach, there's an Isser D'Oraisa of Chometz She'over Lava Pesach. Any Chometz that existed in the world, and I'm careful what I'm saying, I didn't say Jewish Chometz, I said any Chometz that existed in existence in the world during the Yontif Pesach is awesome in HaTorah La'olam Vo'ed, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it doesn't make the slightest bit of difference whether I own the chametz, whether Mr. John Brown owns the chametz, whether this store owns the chametz. That Jew guy, chametz that existed in the world is awesome in the Torah. It's obvious that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the institution of Mechiras chametz would be absurd, because what are you going to say a chametz to the goy? You can't use it anyway after Pesach. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, we would have a very, very different version of what chametz on Pesach is. So we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda, at least on this one. Lifnei Pesach, maybe we do, maybe we don't. But the chametz over Pesach, the Gemara says explicitly we pass like Rabbi Shimon, that min haTorah, there's nothing wrong with chametz that was in existence on Pesach. Midirabbanan, they made a special penalty in Knas for the person who violated the Isra of owning chametz on Pesach. They prohibited his chametz, the Olam Vayed. But since the Isra is only midirabbanan as a Knas, it was only instituted on Jewish owned chametz. He's allowed on chametz on Pesach. And therefore, the whole institution of chametz of Olam Pesach is a Knas that we're familiar with today. So that's based on the fact that we follow the view of Rabbi Shimon.
So how did you learn Lecha?
No, everybody agrees that the Isra by Rabbi Matzah is only violated.
Well, just for that
that's issue. The Isra of owning chametz. So it's nothing wrong, quite tribute, there's nothing wrong with a goy owning chametz in Pesach. The only problem is it's still going to be also after Pesach. Because the Isra of chametz from a Pesach contribute has nothing to do with the violation of by Rabbi Matzah. So the halacha, the fact that we follow the view of Rabbi Shimon is we can breathe a sigh of relief. Because otherwise, you can imagine what the world would look like according to Rabbi Yehuda. You can never buy, you can't buy cereal today. Because if the cereal was owned by a guy, if there was a chametz that was ever owned, you would have to start the whole world over again. You have to start getting grain and start making bread. You have to start everything from scratch. That would be the worldview of Rabbi Yehuda. So we don't pass it like that. I always say that if we would have followed Rabbi Yehuda, it would have made life miserable for the Baal Matim. It would have made life very, very easy for the Rabbanim. Why? I spend most of my days after Pesach trying to figure out whether this store is owned by a Jew. That's according to Yehuda, I don't care. According to Yehuda, he asked me, the shop right over there, I don't care about the shop. It's all treif anyway. Everything's awesome. So it would make life impossible for everybody, but it would solve some of the Chametz Shabbat Pesach crisis. But back to our story. So it's with this background that Chametz Avlam Pesach is a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda, who says it's deraisa, and Rabbi Shimon, who says that at worst it's only midirabbanan. This is where Rav steps into the picture. Now Rav begins to discuss, what if you have now mixtures of chametz? What if I'm not sitting down having a piece of challah on Pesach? I'm not sitting down having a box of cookies after Pesach that was real chametz on Pesach. What's happening is as follows. I'm cooking a pot of potato soup and a little bit of breadcrumb falls in on Pesach. Or I'm cooking a pot of potato soup after Pesach and a breadcrumb shavuot on Pesach falls in. Now what? Where do you go from here? So how do all these halachas play out in terms of chum, in terms of yeredeya, in terms of tarobes? So it's with this background that, let's go back to Rav again, I'm a Rav. Chametz bezmano, if it's a question of chametz on Pesach itself, bein b'mino, bein shlo b'mino asar, no matter what happens, whether it's a tarobes of mino, whether it's tarobes of shlo b'mino, namely, what would mino mean? Let's say I'm making a dough, making a matzah dough, and a little drop of chametz dough falls in. So, asar. Or let's say shalom amino, I'm cooking potato soup and a breadcrumb falls in. So no matter what it is, asar. That's what Rav's statement is. That's on Pesach itself. But shalom is mano. After Pesach is over, then bimino asar. If it's a tarobus, a min bimino, it's a problem. Where shalom amino, it's going to be okay. Shalom amino mutter. So Rav talked about four different cases, so different variables. That's chametz, bizmano, mino, shalom amino. And then the shalom bezmano, the mina shalom bezmano.
What's the shalom bezmano?
It's after Pesach.
What happened after?
So I'm cooking my potato soup on Shavuos, and a breadcrumb that was chametz of a Pesach, right? So it's a treifidik of breadcrumb, so to speak, falls into my potato soup. So where do we go from here? So the Gemara says b'maya skidah. So the Gemara stops Rav and says, how much chametz fell in? Rav never said. Rav never told us what the volume of the chametz was. Rav says, Baby mina ben shemino aser shalom is mada mina aser. So ilay benosin tam. If we're talking about a lot of chametz fell in and it's nosin tam, now in our lingo, from our words, we know what that means already. That means shishim. That means i.e. you don't have shishim here. There's so much chametz fell in that it's nosin tam. So Gemara says in Rav's statement doesn't make any sense. Shalom is mano shalom mina mutter. How could Rav make such a statement that Shalom bezmano, if it's chametz of love of Pesach, it's okay, don't worry about it. As long as it's shalom amino, that's okay. What do you mean okay? How you have time? It's giving off taste. And everybody knows chametz love of Pesach according to Rav, is in a Seder Aisa. So we have to revamp what Rav said. Ela b'mashu. Rav was not talking about when there's so much there. Rav was talking about our sugya, and this sets the stage. This is really where our sugya starts. Rav was talking about mashu, a very, very minute, very, very small drop of chabad falls in. So now let's, Gemara says, let's reread Rav properly. B'mashu. Chometz bismano, bein b'mino, bein shel b'mino, osur. If a little drop of chometz falls in on Pesach itself, no matter what, it's going to pose a problem. If it's b'mino, it's going to pose a problem. If it's shelo b'mino, it doesn't matter whether it's the chometz sticker dough that falls into the paste sticker dough, or it's the breadcrumb into the potato soup. Everything is osur, even b'mino. Why is that? Because it's very simple. Rav l'tamei, the Rav u'Shmuel, the Amri Travayu, Kol Yisurin Shabbatora, B'mino B'mashu, Shlom Mino B'mazendam. Rav and Shmuel happened to a pasuk like, believe it or not, from last sugya, Rabbi Yehuda. Rav was the Amora who said, we follow Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore, Chometz is not that different from other Yisurin B'mazendam. If you'd have a drop of Nevela that would fall into Mino, it would also Aser. If you'd have a drop of Trefa chicken soup, it would fall into a pot of kosher chicken soup, it would also Aser. So therefore, a drop of Chometz de Gadot falls into a big batch of kosher Pesach dough, it's also going to Aser. So B'mino, when Rav said that Chometz B'Pesach is Aser B'Mashu B'mino, that wasn't so surprising. What is surprising about Rav is why he said that by Shalom B'mino. Why did Rav say that if a breadcrumb falls into potato soup, why does that also b'mashu? Nobody says that in Kol Torah Kula. Even Rabbi Yehuda didn't say that in Kol Torah Kula. So that's the puzzling part of Rav. So the Gemara says, here's the answer. Fourth line, Rav gozar chometz bizmano shelo b'mino atumino. That Rav made a gezeira. Rav said that on Pesach itself, if you have a little bit of mino, you have a problem deraisa, because I'm a Rabbi Yehuda person. If it's shalom b'mino, min ha-Torah, it should be perfectly okay. In all of your day, in all of Masechet Chulin, if a little drop of chaza falls into potato soup, would be okay. A little chela falls into your potato soup, that's okay. Everything else would be okay. But chabos b'pesach, the buck stops here. Gozar shalom b'zmano, atumino. By chabos b'pesach, Rav made a special gezeira. Why did he make a special gzeir by Pesach? We can only guess. It must be the term chumra de chometz. That it must be that chometz is so strict, chometz is so chomor, and therefore Rav felt that we have to go the extra mile on chometz and make yisurim derabanan that don't exist in the world of deraisas. So when all the dust settles, what did Rav say? Bottom line, Rav said so many different things flying around, but we really only have to extract two nekudas from Rav. Only two things that really, really concern us from Rav. One is that Rav is a Rabbi Yehuda person, that he follows the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, he's entitled. Rav's a lot of possible view if he wants. And number two, even though Rabbi Yehuda's statement was only true vis-a-vis min memino, Rav went the extra mile and says, midrabbanon, on Pesach, we're going to aser even shalom memino. Why are we going to do that? A gezeira. Because chometz is so chamur. Parenthetically, what makes chometz so chamur? Why are we so machin? We shake, you know, on chometz. What's more chamur about chometz than other issurim in the Torah? So the Rishonim put together two different factors. So first of all, there's the sakaris. Of course, sakaris itself changes the rules, but not entirely. Not all on its own, because there are other issurim that are karis also. Chelev is also karis. So manish dada that chometz is so chamur. So Tosus points out in the Beis Maseches Pesachim that not only is chometz in sakaris, but it's also psychologically chomer. It's called lo bedili minei. I eat chometz all year long, and all of a sudden a week comes, I stop, don't eat the chometz. Chazer, I don't eat all year long, hopefully. Chelev, I don't eat all year long. Bas Mechav, I stay away from all year long. But chometz is just an issa for 1 week a year. The odds of falling into an issa of chometz are much more likely than anything else. That's the reason why Tosus writes in the Beis Maseches Pesachim that we never ever heard of the following. A person moves into a non-Jew's apartment, we should say to him, go and do bedikas chelev, forget hanosha, ubas mecholov. Go onto the beds, make sure there's no cheeseburgers there. Go into the freezer, make sure there's no get hanosha, stored away there. Lo shemar, whoever is such a ridiculous thing, do bedikas machol asuras. If you find the cheeseburger, throw it to the garbage. You don't have to go look for cheeseburgers. How come all of a sudden her face, everyone's on the hands and knees under the bed looking for chametz? So Tosa says, because the ramifications of having chametz are much more problematic, because gezeirah shel yovel liyachol, you can eat the chametz by mistake. You can eat the cheeseburger. No, you're not. You see a cheeseburger, you're not going to eat it. You see a piece of chametz, you may forget that it's Pesach. So that idea of chumrah de chametz exists in many, many places in Maseches Pesachim, and Rav plugs it into the equation here as well. So when all the dust settles, according to Rav, if I come and ask a shayla on Pesach, Rabbi, listen to the terrible thing that just happened. A little bit of chametz just got mixed in. So Rav would say, okay, let's analyze the shayla. Is it min b'mino, min b'sheino mino? If it's min b'mino, then Rav says, you have a problem deraisa, because I'm a Rabbi Yehuda person. If it's min b'sheino mino, I don't have a problem deraisa, but I still have a problem in the Rabbanan, a gezeira atumino. So that's what Rav said. And others question Rav, and Rabbi Yochanan questions Rav, and Shmuel questions Rav, different permutations of different opinions, why people disagree with Rav. But at the end of the day, let's just take a look, three lines from the bottom. That's the line that we read at the end of yesterday's year. Three lines from the bottom. What interests us, the halacha, I mean, we have great respect for Rav, but what really, really interests us for halacha is what Rav is going to tell us for two reasons. First of all, Rav is the later Amora, so the later Amoraim get the last word in terms of Pesach Halacha, and Rav also uses the magic word that trumps everything, the word is Hilchasa. And Amora says what Hilchasa, you know we're going to find a conclusion, or at least we think we're going to find a conclusion. Three lines at the bottom, Amar Rava, Hilchasa, here's the bottom line, Chometz Bismano, Bein Bimino, Bein Shelo Bimino, Asa Bimashu Karav. That chametz bizmano, we're not even talking about achar Pesach at this point, chametz bizmano, it doesn't matter whether it's bimino, ben shalom bimino, it's asa b'mashu kirav, that the halacha follows Rav, and finished. So it sounds like Rav is very, very serious. The halacha Rav is very, very, very much taken as a final word. And again, Rav had two chidushim, Rav had two statements. Statement number one is he believes in Rabbi Yehuda. He follows Rabbi Yehuda, deraisa, b'min b'mino, which is really not a chametz issue, applies to Kol Torah Kula. And statement number two of Rav was that, by the way, on Pesach, we make a chumrah derabanan, that we don't make another isurim, a gezeira, shalom b'mino atumino. Those were the two statements of Rav. And Rav, in one fell swoop, paskins across the board that they're both true. Hilchos a chametz of Pesach, b'min b'mino, b'in shalom b'mino, osma asho karav. So if you take those words at face value, asa b'mashu karav, that means Rav is signing off on both statements of Rav. So that's exactly what Rashi says. Rashi on the spot says, that's right, that's exactly what Rav meant to say, and that's how we pass in the halacha, and therefore we accept both chumras, the deraisatik chumra of Rabbi Yehuda, mibimino ein abotom min haTorah, and the derabonatik chumra that by Pesach we make a gezeira even shlobimino. That's Rashi's famous shita in the end of this sugya. And most of the Rishonim say that's not true. And that's what we spoke about in the previous sugya. Most of the Rishonim say, we don't follow Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda was a Das Yochid. The Gemara in Chulin contradicts him. Other sugyas again, we don't follow Rabbi Yehuda. So what in the world did Rava mean? What Rav meant, we know what Rav meant. But what we really want to know is, what did Rava mean with those magic words? Amar Rava, Hilchasa, Chametz, Bismana, Ben Shalom, Asa B'mashu Kirav. Those are the three magic words. Asa B'mashu Kirav. How do you deal with that? So Rashi said, how do you deal with it? You accept it, finish. It's possible for you, then call it a day. So most of the Rishonim disagree with that analysis of Rashi. And the question is, why do they disagree? What nekudah do they disagree upon? So Tosfos, which was, the Tosfos was really in the previous Maamar Kamos, but it's relevant for this also, so we'll say it outside now. Tosfos quotes two different possibilities how to address these three words of the Gemara. Aser b'mashu karav. So one way to address it is to take out the word kirav. So there was some Rishonim who did not have the girsa kirav. They just simply had the girsa osir b'mashu. What would that mean? What that could mean is as follows, says Tosfos. We accept Rav's psak, but we don't accept his reasoning. We don't accept his rationale for his psak. His psak was that any and every mixture of chametz and pesach is a disaster. Chametz and pesach osir b'mashu, that's true. We accept that in Shulchan Aruch, 100%, says Tosfos. But not for Rav's reason. Rav said it was based on two factors. It was based on Rabbi Yehuda, and then a gezeirah on Pesach, building off of Rabbi Yehuda. That we don't accept, says Tosfos. We don't follow Rabbi Yehuda. Nobody follows. Except for Rashi, nobody follows Rabbi Yehuda. We hold that min haTorah, everything is bottle barov, min bottle barov. Mid the Rabbanon, on Pesach, Chazal threw two chumras at us. Chazal said that min b'mino is b'mashu, and even mimish enam is b'mashio. But everything is a chumra. Everything is dirabon. Everything is chumra de Pesach. According to Rav, and according to Rashi, and according to the Girsa, Hilchasa, Asim Rashi, Kirav, the first statement of Min Babino is a deraisa, and the Shalom Babino is a derabana of a gzera. According to this Girsa, the word Rav gets cut out of the picture. There's no deraisas here. The Chobetz is the same as everything else, and everything is Bokl Barov by Min Babino. The whole thing, lock, stock, and barrel, is a chumr b'drabanon that we don't want any tarovus on Pesach. A chometz, wives are going to scream at us, they're going to kill us. Any chometz whatsoever, it doesn't matter min b'mino, doesn't matter min m'sheino mino. A bread, imagine you go home, Erev Pesach, tell your wife, I just learned the sugya that says, if a little bit of breadcrumbs falls into the potato soup, it's okay, it's not so bad. She'll say, you're crazy, if they throw out the pot. My grandmother never would have had it. So who's right? So you're right, Minotaur, and she's right, Lemaisa. You're right, Minotaur, because Chometz is the same as everything else, and everything is Batal, Barov, and Shishim, etc. But Midrabana, they made a Chumra across the board, Asa Bevashu. So according to the first way of rereading this Gemara, Lahaloch, it's the same. Bottom line is everything is the same. Everything is Bevashu, but the rationale is very different. According to Rashi's conclusion of the Gemara, we really accept Rabbi Yehuda ben Mino ben Mashu min HaTorah, and we just build off of that with a little limited gezeira by Chametz. According to Tosus reading of the Gemara, the whole thing is a gezeira derabbanan. But there's another way to read this Gemara, and that's Rabbi Tam's way of reading the Gemara. And let's just go back to that line of the Gemara again. Amarava, three lines at the bottom of the first Maramakomas. Amarava, Hilchos Chametz Bezmano, Bein Bemino, Bein Shlo Bemino, Asa Bemashu Karav. Those are the three words that we have in the text of that Gemara. So we already saw that Tosfos quotes some girsos that cut off the last word, karav. Okay, nu. And guess what? There was another girsa that cut off the word before that also. And the Gemara just read, osir, finished. Not the mashu. There was no mention of mashu. It just said, osir. What does osir mean? It's like all other tarovus in halacha. It's like any other mixture in halacha. What are the rules? Rules are very simple. If you have a tarovus of min b'mino or min b'shedo min, you need shishim. I said there. Whatever the lumbus is, shishim carries the day. That psachim is no different than chulin. The same way that nuchas bas b'cholav and nuchas chelim and nuchas nevelas and treifas and chazer, shishim carries the day. Shishim is the final determining factor. The same exact thing is true when it comes to chametz and pesach, and that which we grew up as little kids always hearing chametz for pesach, asim b'mashu gevalt, is just wrong. It's not true. It's not true. Rav said it, but the Gemara never passed it that way. When Rav said his magic words, Hilchasa, he never meant to say Kirav. He never even meant to say Bashu. He just meant to say Osir, finished.
Take that both words,
right. So you have three different yourselves, three different very, 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 very different pictures of the story. So that was the view of Rabbi Natan. Needless to say, as I'm sure everybody knows from their youth, Rabbi Natan was not accepted by Allah. Nobody followed, I shouldn't say nobody, I represent it. Almost nobody follows this view of Rabbi Natan. Halacha l'maaseh, we accept what the view of most of the Rishonim, that yes, it's true, asa b'mashu. Whether it's true that we paskin like Rav, like Rashi, or whether it's true that we cut out the word kirav, but everything is still asa b'drabanan anyway, like Tosfos, that's subject to discussion. But nobody really, truly today, today's world, would ever follow the view of Rabbi Natan to cut out the last two words of the Gamre and just say chametz is benos adam and shishim and call it a day. That's not negotiable. Truth to be told, though, Rabbi Natan was not the only one who said it. Already predated Rabbi Natan by hundreds of years. The Shiltas. Shiltas was written in the days of the Gaonim by Rabbi Chai Gaon. Rabbi Chai Gaon also did not have that girsa. So you're spanning now from the Gaonim to the Rishon. There was an alternate girsa floating around that didn't have the words B'mashu Karav and with an unbelievable difference in halacha. Halacha L'mayis and Shukharach, we don't follow this view of Rabbi Natan. We follow the view of most of the Rishonim, and therefore practically in our kitchens, chametz is b'pesach asa b'mashu. But again, just be aware such an alternate view, a descending view exists. Is that descending view at all relevant? So some of the later Acharonim write that nobody is going to actively paskin straight out like Rabbi Natan, like the Shiltas, but every once in a while if we have other shilas, and this is, you know, this becomes like the job of a posek to start to combine factors. Sometimes you have a shaila, we're not even sure was it really chametz, and if it really was chametz, but I'm sure maybe it didn't even get mixed in, and if it did, it's maybe Rabbi Natan's right, this becomes like almost like a sniff local, and as a shasat chach, and I have sin meruba, and they don't have any money, they don't have any food, and this starts to become, so every once in a while you find later a charonim who will say that we don't follow Rabbi Natan, But he still remained Tam. Tam still had what to say, so we'll throw it in as a sniff, throw it into the mixture. No pun intended. If you have a big chiller with a lot of other possible coolers, so we'll say, and the OG Schleimer, the back burner, Yeshlismach, Mashasar Chan Godlan, Rabbeinu Tam, but see, 15 other things. So that Loshen and Sapolsky, you do fine. So Rabbeinu Tam is not accepted as a normative psak, but it will sometimes make it in the background as a sniff local. So I'll just finish today's show with a humorous application of this principle. This goes back to before I got married, over 25 years ago, where I grew up in Riverdale, and Shlomo Kalbach came for a Shabbos to Riverdale. Goes back when, a while ago. So he came and he spent Shabbos in Riverdale. He went singing and talking in all the shuls, and he came to Rabbi Willig Shul for Shal Shuras. He came and he spoke and he ran without his guitar, ran a Shal Shuras Miras on Chmeid Viatzma, really, Shlomo Kalbach himself. So it was a few weeks before Pesach, and he was telling a story on Maislach, which only he could do, about there was a poor Jewish woman, didn't have any money, and he said it was right before Pesach, and all of a sudden, she's cooking on Pesach, all the little food that she had, and a little bit of bread falls in, she goes crazy, she goes to the rabbi, and with the song and dance and everything else, he gets the punchline of the story is that the rabbi tells her that he had a dream, Rabbeinu Tam came to him in a dream, and Rabbeinu Tam said, I wrote that Tosfos for this lady, that she should have food to eat on Pesach. The Chomes of Pesach was not really awesome in Mashu. That was the thrust of the song. I remember looking at Rabbi Willick's face, he was turning white as the story was going on. But the poskim do quote, and the poskim don't quote from the Chomes of Pesach, but they do quote this Maisa, not this Maisa itself, but this idea that every once in a while we'll fall back on Rabbeinu Tam. Anyway, the bottom line is at least we set the stage for the Sugya, but we have, as you can tell from the 3+ pages of Mamre Kabbalah, we have not even begun to learn the Sugya, as they say. So we just talked about the bare bone minimum of Rashi, Taisa, Rabbeinu Tam. Hopefully that's from tomorrow, we'll start to get into the nitty gritty part of the Sugya. In terms of the lumdus, there's a lot of heavy duty lumdus that's going to about to play out. Yeah. In terms of this, so get under a list.